And welcome to the Spike Feed, your leading Magic the Gathering podcast. What is up? My name is Curtis, and I'm just your typical Spike. On the air with me, we've got a full house. We haven't done this in a while, right, Cameron? Yeah, on the air with me is MTG Yellow Belt, audio and video producer extraordinaire, Cameron McCoy. What's up, dude?
Not a lot, man. Just excited to get this show going.
Yeah. Also on the line with us is our modern correspondent and semi-regular dude from Switzerland, Nate. Nate, what's up?
Nothing amazing to mention except that life in general is awesome.
Wow. That's a little too much positivity for my taste. You're off the show.
That's why I did it. I'm just trying to rock the boat.
And our guest, we've been working on this guest for a little while now. You may know him as Real Evil Genius on Twitter. Jason, what's up, man?
Hey guys, how's this going?
Yeah, let me just promote your stuff real quick. So you stream occasionally. You said you're going to start streaming again regularly. When?
Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern.
And you, like Nate, are a Team Geist aficionado, and you write about it for Mana Deprived now, right?
Correct. Yep, I now write for Mana Deprived, although my next article is actually for Commander.
I don't understand.
This keeps happening to you guys.
It's my first time ever writing about the format. I play the format casually with friends, so you know, I got, hey, can you give me a casual article? I said sure. So it's how it works, I guess.
I mean, Cameron and I play casual. I'll play like Storm, right?
yeah.
He plays High Tide. That's casual.
Totally. The ante.
Casual. Yeah.
Yeah, we go the ante.
Casual ante.
Like you do,
Legacy,
right?
Decks.
So we like to start out every show talking about what we've been playing. Jason, since you're our guest this week, I'm going to lead off with you. What Magic have you been playing this week outside of everyone's favorite multiplayer format?
Well, I helped some friends get ready for a standard event, but I was kind of just play the gauntlet decks. So it wasn't any fun, but really I've been trying to get ready for... I have a open in February that is Legacy. So I've been playing Legacy last week, trying to start getting ready, get back into the swing of the format because I haven't played in a little while.
What's your feel for the format at the moment?
It's so strange since there hasn't been coverage lately. Like, mm-hmm. You know, we have like 2 months of like no coverage of the format. So really the format seems like it hasn't changed much since then. So there's a lot of Delver, especially in my area, and a lot of Storm. Mm-hmm. So, I normally like to play Stoneblade decks. Like, that's my...
Go on.
Yep, that's my bread and butter.
yeah, me too. They're great.
Yeah, they're awesome. But I think this time, I actually have a Sneak and Show sleeved up.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I want to do something powerful that can kill my opponents quickly, just in case there's Storm or something. I don't want to have to fool around with, like, do I have the right answer cards... especially since I personally like to play Jeskai Stoneblade mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And its answers to like the combo decks are not nearly as good as the Esper Stoneblade list.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I would tend to agree with like the Jeskai Stoneblade thing. Like maybe 3 years ago, it would have been totally fine for the format, but it always seems to just be one turn too late in almost, I don't know, 75% of the situations I'm in.
I do think it is better in a meta with a lot of Delver, though, man. You can load up on those bolts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's better in a quote-unquote fair meta, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you, whenever you're playing Esper, you just have to lean so hard on the discard spells. Now, I will tell you, I've not played Jeskai Stoneblade with New Jace. I haven't tested that variant or played against it or with it, so I don't know how much better or worse it is. But it's kind of weird how fundamental he is to that deck at this point,
mm-hmm.
Which is not what I would have assumed. So now Sneak and Show is a great deck for the meta right now, especially with so many people playing Storm. And I don't know about your area, but Shardless has become, you know, front and center in the meta again. So it's great against that, right?
Yep.
I should say great-ish, as long as they're not playing him. That's where we should go there, right?
Yeah, but even if they play him, they only play, like most of the Shardless decks I've seen have only had like two copies in their main deck,
mm-hmm.
So not too worried about it.
Yeah, yeah. Nate, what about you, man? What have you been playing this week?
Well, I've just been doing some modern, kind of putting some more content out there on my YouTube channel.
Grenade's back.
Yeah. I'm back. I've been putting some content out there. And so obviously it's just modern. Play Jeskai Geist through a league. I'm actually looking forward to preparing for GP Bologna in Italy. I feel like that'll be interesting, playing a really large event in a country that I don't speak the language in. Should be exciting.
Dude, look at you. You're like, yeah, just a Grand Prix in Italy. No big deal.
Yeah, but to be fair, you know, it's when you're used to living in the country of the United States, every other country is very, very far away. Mm-hmm. I live 2 miles from the border of France. So, you know, and you know, Italy, like Bologna it's only 250 miles away. I'm from Texas. That's the distance between Houston and Dallas. Yeah. So it's Europe's a lot smaller.
More compact for sure. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about the Geist deck? Are you making any changes to it that you feel really strongly about?
Man, you got me and Jason on the cast, man. You're going to open up a whole can of worms here with that one. you know, how do I feel? You know, I'm
doing this for Cameron's benefit, by the way.
Yeah.
He needs
You're generally always going to get the same answer out of me, and that is the general group talk out there about, you know, how Jeskai Geist might be positioned is usually incorrect. I think that the deck has sort of been a sleeper for a long time, and that it's just better than people think it is. It can really sort of play. It can play aggressively when it needs to. It can play control when it needs to. And ultimately, it is a fine deck to play. And the more skilled you are with it, the more it's going to reward you. And the decks in general in modern, the fair decks anyway, are so close that I've said this before. You should really play what you want. And you know, it has great matchups like Burn. You know, and it can go toe-to-toe and be 50-50 with the attrition mashups. And then even against things like Tron, you know, if Geist lives, they're basically going to die. So, I mean, I love the deck. I always have. And I know Jason feels the same way.
Do you have a Geist of Saint Traft tattoo?
No, but you know what? It is the only Magic card that my wife knows the name of.
Yeah.
So, my wife, the only Magic card, or she makes fun of the way we talk on the cast, right, when she overhears it.
Of course.
And she's like, you know, stupid cards like Jace, Mask of the Mana Leak. That's the card she came up with. And I was like, I don't know if that says something about me, but that sounds like an awesome card, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's also my fan fiction of Jace.
There's Jace and Sonic the Hedgehog and characters from Dragon Ball Z all in the same
yep.
Cameron fan fiction universe, right? I like it.
Yeah.
You know, one of these days we should do an episode of this, like, be like a short episode where we bring our wives on and like get their take on things.
Oh, what? here's what would happen is Cameron's wife would say to my wife, do you know how much they've been spending on cards?
And I would be like, guys, shh, the conversation shouldn't go there.
Right. And then all of a sudden the internet would disconnect.
Right.
Oh, honey, what a horrible outage. Yeah. So Cameron, let's jump to you, man, because you've been playing modern as well.
Yeah, I was playing some modern, and I've been stupid in not playing Jeskai, and instead playing an Esper control build that is really a brew. It has Bitter Blossoms, Tasigur in it, and then, you know, Snapcasters, Remands, and then there's just like all these like flex spots where do I want to run 3 Inquisition, a Kozilex, and 1 Thought Seize, or, you know, just like these things that I've been tweaking with. I really dig the deck. I don't think it's great by any means, and it definitely needs some polishing. That being said, I've been having fun playing with it. And the most interesting thing, I think, this post-twin world or whatever, is just I am excited to see these new decks, or these decks that we don't see a lot of, get represented. So, I mean, like, I saw Zoo a lot, which, you know, a year and a half ago, I never saw Zoo at all. So I'm excited to play against that. I think there's some really interesting matchups that happen with something like that, with a control deck. I got wrecked by Merfolk in, like, the worst way. I mean, it was, like, a really good player as well, but, man, I just could not get the answers that I needed, right? And then played against a blue-white control Sun Titan deck, which was really, really cool. It's, you know, it's not a great deck, but I do like Sun Titan, and it's just a very Drago grindy type of control deck. So overall, I mean, I'm having good in this meta. I'm having a good time, I should say, in this meta.
Yeah, but I mean, would you say, because you tweeted out a little bit about it, that you were having trouble against kind of some of the fair decks, and you had tuned Esper in such a way because you were playing against Bloom Titan and all those things, like you were playing Extirpate or Surgical Extraction, right?
Surgicals and, like a lot of those cards that are very specific to some very specific types of matchups. Mm-hmm.
Which are hot garbage against Zoo, right? Like
exactly, right? Yeah. So, I mean, the last thing you want to do is Thought Seize and Surgically Extract a Wild Nacatl when they're playing a Curd Ape and Tarmogoyf next turn, right? I mean, like, those are the things you don't want to see. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I think the deck needs some tweaks. And there are things that, you know, it's like, yeah, why am I not running red, right? Why am I not running a Lightning Bolt to deal with the Wild Nacatl or Anger of the Gods to just wipe the board clean on turn three rather than trying to look for my Supreme Verdicts? So there's things like that I totally get. I just love those colors in Legacy, and I just feel like there should be some sort of translation into Modern.
If only.
If only, right? Yeah.
If only they print they unbanned Stoneforge Mystic, then we'd be having this conversation for real, right?
Yeah.
So I've been playing, I just want to touch on Modern. I've been playing a ton of Modern Delver, and I like that deck better and better. I think my record across three leagues is like 11-4 with it, and I'm not even playing Scalding Tarns. You know what I mean? Like it is quote-unquote budget, and Storm Chaser Mage, which is the new Hasty Prowess Flyer, I'm excited to add to the deck. I think Abbot of Curl Keep is not what you want to necessarily be doing in that deck. Mm-hmm. But I really liked playing that deck, and I don't know, maybe it's going to be my Modern deck of choice. I'm sure you guys can speak to this. It's probably for sideboard cards, but outside of Geist, I don't really see a need to add white. I like the tempo element of the Delver deck, but you're kind of all in on tempo. Like if you get behind on tempo, you are dead, right?
I have a question for you because my opinion may be slanted because I play Jeskai and have a lot of removal, but every time that
we know
I play
where
against,
your bet is made.
Every time I play against the Delver deck, I kind of have the same thought. Wow, Delver of Secrets, by far the worst card in their deck.
Yeah, if it doesn't make an appearance in the first two turns, it's kind of awful. Right? And if
it just dies, there's so many bolts in the format.
Yeah, and Storm Chaser Mage, by the way, I mean, I'm not saying this is true, but it might end up replacing Delver in those decks because, I mean, it is a lot of damage. Granted, it's one mana more, but if everybody's playing Storm Chaser Mage, then your Delvers look bad, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see. We'll see how that shakes out, but I'm definitely tweaking that deck. But I want to spend a little time talking about Oath Limited because it got released on Magic Online. Was that Friday that you could pre-release? And I hadn't pre-released in real life. So I made the regrettable decision to do about 2 late night drafts without knowing the set at all. I hadn't played with it once. And I got done at like 1:30 in the morning of thing. And initial impressions, granted, I played horribly, right? I ended up on 3 drafts and my record was like 4-5. So not great. But kind of expected because I didn't know the format. It's weird. It's really weird. The stuff in Oath doesn't feel like it jives with what's in Battle for Zendikar at all, right? Like, it almost feels like you can hear a record scratch as soon as they open the battle pack. Because you have all this stuff with the waste and the colorless and the Eldrazi that are in the 2 Oath of the Gatewatch packs don't speak at all to the Eldrazi that are in Battle for Zendikar. The only thing that is kind of lines up across the two sets is the allies, specifically white. But because of that, the white-black deck seems like it's definitely the best deck because it's the only one where you can pick up stuff for it in Pack 3. The other thing is, I mean, my preference would be just to have triple Oath draft. I know that, you know, there's a lot of logistic things with that as well. But the whole thing with you have to draft waste. Cameron, did you know this? You can't get waste out of the basic land box. Like,
yeah,
they have
to. That's something that happened during sealed. And yeah.
So essentially what's happening is nobody ends up with the waste, like blue and colorless deck. Because everyone, probably five drafters at the pod, are splashing colorless.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you end up with these really lopsided decks. And the format ends up very grindy as a result because everybody's mana stinks. It's awful. Everybody's, you know, two colors and then some kind of waste splash, you know. And the times that I tried to get away from that and make an aggro deck, I had like no success. The grindier and weirder my deck was, the better I did, you know. So the format, like there's a lot of board stalls. One of my games, my opponent almost got decked. That's how long the game took.
Dang.
You know? So it just doesn't feel well balanced. I mean, maybe my opinion will change over time. I'm going to draft it a lot. But I just, it doesn't feel like it connects at all to Battle for Zendikar. And that's kind of a bummer because I really liked, I know a lot of people hated Battle for Zendikar. I really liked that draft format a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But just mechanics don't line up. Like the whole ingest processor thing is just absent. And then you open them in the third pack and it seems strange.
Totally.
So anyway, there's my rant on that. Hopefully I like it better. I did open a Kozilek, so hey, got some of my money back that way, right? Anyway, so guys, grab your next cup of coffee because we're getting ready to commit ourselves to some Fantasy Pro Tour. Hey guys, Curtis here. Just wanted to put together a quick plug for our show's Patreon. We've been on Patreon for about a year, and it's been a fantastic success. But we wanted to make some changes based upon the feedback we were getting. So in the show notes, you can find a link. And if you feel compelled, you want to support the show in some way, we feel like there's some great rewards there for our listeners. So check it out, and we'd love to have you on board. All right, guys, I am happy, so happy, because we are engaging the return of the Fantasy Pro Tour. Now, unfortunately, Dustin isn't with us for his, could we call them esoteric choices for the Fantasy Pro Tour? But here's how this works. All four of us are going to do this. You pick what you think is going to make the appear the most in the top eight of the Pro Tour, even though they're not the best performing decks. I think this is kind of the most fun way we have to talk about the format. So, Cameron.
Yeah, man.
We're going to lead off with you, buddy. What is your choice for land?
Land? You know, I'm feeling like there's going to be a lot of fetching going on. We're going to go with Scalding Tarn.
Okay. Whilst I will choose... I'm going to go with Polluted Delta. Nate, what about you, buddy?
Well, so I'm tempted to try to you know, go cast my net wide and think about, you know, what land could be in multiple decks. And I almost want to say Black Cleave Cliffs because maybe we get that out of the Goryeo's deck and we can get that in Jund. And maybe I can pick up a nice, like, 2-for-1. But I'm going to go off to the slant, whatever that means. And I'm going to say Darksteel Citadel.
Yeah.
It just occurs to me, I have no idea how to spell Citadel. So... hopefully that works out. Jason, what about you, man? What's your thoughts?
So I'm going to go with something that's being played in multiple decks currently, and it's kind of can fit into any deck because it's colorless land, and I'm going to go with Ghost Quarter.
I like it.
I honestly think that card is underplayed in the format right now.
It is. Mm-hmm. Everybody that's playing Tectonic Edge is just absolutely wrong.
I mean, you know how often I die in that format where there is no fourth land on the battlefield?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to be able to interact with Tron and stuff before they have their fourth land.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Agree 100%. So, we're gonna snake this around. Artifact is back to you, Jason.
Yeah, I think I'm going to snatch up Spellskite with this one.
It's a good choice.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see, because Spellskite, I mean, we could see a huge reduction in it, yeah. Right?
It's quite possible, but we'll see. Maybe, like, yeah. Infect and stuff makes people still play it.
Boggles, still like a house against them. Yeah. Nathan, what about you, man?
Got to think for a moment. I'm not going to lie. I liked Jason's choice, so I'm going to have to About something different. You know what? I'm going to go with Relic of Progenitus.
Yeah.
So whoever wins this, Cameron's going to make a voicemail on your home answering machine, right? I just made an NPR joke that nobody got, Cameron.
Yeah. Carl Kessel.
Yeah. I'm going to choose Expedition Map.
Not a bad choice.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the two boogeyman decks, it's making an appearance. What about you, Cameron?
Somebody has to deal with burn. We'll say Dragon's Claw.
But nobody plays Dragon's Claw, Cameron.
I don't know.
You know what, Cameron? I mean, that...
Actually, cancel that. I want to do Mox Opal.
Oh, man. I was getting ready to say... Sideboards do count, for those of you wondering. Yeah. Oh, man, that was great. So what about enchantment for you, Cameron?
Blood Moon.
I'm going to choose Eidolon of Great Revel.
No, that was mine.
Uh-oh, Nate, now you got to think about it.
I do have to think about it. But
pacifism, but go for it.
No, I was actually going to say, but I'm gonna follow up on, how shall we say, Cameron's esoteric red hate card. Yeah. And I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to go with Circle of Protection red.
Unfortunately, not legal in the format, but that would be, God, I would love to play that in this format.
Let me think here. Enchantment, Stony Silence.
There you go.
Jason?
I'm going to go with Spreading Seas.
Ooh.
I like that choice.
That's a really good,
I feel like it's clear that Jason knows the overall meta better than I do, that he's like picking these very specific cards. Okay, now we're to Planeswalker. We have Planeswalker, instant sorcery, small creature, regular size creature, big size creature. So Planeswalker, Jason, what's up?
I think with this one, I'm just going to have to go with the sort of generic Liliana of the Veil choice.
Okay. Nathan.
Well, I'm glad I'm going next because I'm going to pick the only other played Planeswalker in the format and say Jace. What is his name? Little Jace. Who? Creature Jace.
Jace Friend's Prodigy.
Yeah. That guy, yeah. Jace Friend's Prodigy.
I believe the flip side is Jace Telepath Unbound.
Well, then I better say Jace Telepath Unbound.
Yeah, not that it's not it's the wallpaper on my phone right now or anything like that. I'm not like that big of a fanboy, if that's what you're thinking.
I was.
Cameron.
Is it you? It's you, right?
It is me.
Yeah.
I can't even read right now.
I mean.
I'm definitely choosing Karn.
Okay, so after those three, is there any other played Planeswalkers?
Unfairly, I'm going to choose Domri. I think in Zoo, if we see a showing of Zoo, that's a card you might see. Not a lot, but. Yeah.
It's not a bad pick. Yeah. I think, you know, you have Domri. Gideon does make an appearance occasionally in sideboards in the format.
Ugin would have been a good choice, too.
Yeah.
All right, Cameron. So because you got Domri last time, now you get the shortest putt in the world.
Yeah. I think there's a lightning bolt, maybe.
This is actually really tough for the next one for me. I'm going to go with Remand.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're looking to meta against the ramp decks, it's good. I know what Nathan's... I mean, Nathan's almost definitely going to choose Path here, but I think there's an outside chance that Remand will see more play. Anyway.
Electrolyze.
Or am I wrong?
Well, I just don't know how many... Path decks are going to be out there right now. I mean,
if we're talking about the format 2 years ago, right? It's definitely Path here.
Sure, of course, but now instance. Whatever. It's for fun. I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tarkus Command.
Whoa.
Let's see. If Nate's not going to take it, I am. Path to Exile.
All right. Now you get sorcery, friends.
Yeah, that one's kind of easy. I'll just take Serum Visions.
Nathan, it's your turn.
Also easy. Inquisition of Kozilek.
Oh, boy. This is an awkward silence because I'm trying to figure it out.
Curtis, it's your turn.
I'm gonna go with Thoughtseize here. Not in love with it, but the budget version of Inquisition, if you will.
Delver has a chance of being good. Infect has a good chance. I'm going to go with G-Probe, Jitaxrian Probe.
Oh, that is so much more obvious than mine. Oh, that's painful. Cameron, this moment right here is the only time in all of Fantasy Pro Tour on this show you next leveled me.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Like, save it in the time code, dude. I'm so proud of you right now. You did it, man.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Now I am the master.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I got to go with Snapcaster. Is there anything else?
No.
This is the small creature category. So.
Yeah, small creature.
We're not announcing the categories as we go. So.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm sure, all the listeners of the Spike Feed are like massively intelligent. So they're astute. They can keep up, man.
Yeah, also, I mean, we're gonna share this out so people can check it out. They love Fantasy Pro Tour. Cameron, what I'll do is I'll put one together for our listeners to do.
I love it. Good.
And I'll tally the results and send a couple packs of Oath their way.
Love it.
Okay. So if they made it this far in our Fantasy Pro Tour, they can get hooked up with some gear. Not gear. Stuff. Prizes. Mm-hmm. I need another cup of coffee. small creature. I'm going to... Because the pros have an unnatural love of Jund, I'm just going to go ahead and choose Tarmogoyf.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's personally not great in the format right now, but I mean, you're just going to see some players just, I'm playing Jund, mm-hmm. right? Or Abzan or whatever.
I know. It's my turn.
Well, it just occurred to me that I spelled it as Tarmogoofy.
Thinking. I'm really trying to give this one. I'm gonna do another slant. I'm gonna say Ornithopter.
Ornithopter.
And in
I'm just
one
trying
pick,
to go as small as possible.
Yeah.
And no, in one good. Pick, you reveal all that's wrong with Modern.
man, I'm kind of sad neither one of us took Geist. I'm gonna have to go with Monastery Swift Spear.
Oh, look, it's not that I don't think Geist is awesome.
I know. It's just
it's
not going to be all in the top eight. Yeah.
I doubt like everybody's going to be playing Jeskai Geist at the Pro Tour.
So
mistakenly.
Excuse me, rules lawyer appearance. Geist would actually go in the next category because this is less than three.
Oh, okay. I see.
2-1-0.
Okay.
I thought that was a
chance
heart.
Here.
You have a chance. I mean, it is you can actually choose Geist right now. And put your money where your mouth is,
hey,
right?
I thought that was a heart. You need to put a space after the last name.
Yeah.
Time. I was like, why did he put a heart? I don't know. I guess he likes small creatures.
He loves small creatures, yeah.
They're a way into my heart, you know?
All right. I mean, I feel kind of confident in the rest of my list. So, you know what? We're going to pony up, and I'll just take Geist's Saint Draft right here.
Boom.
All right.
Boom. Now I feel bad. I feel like I betrayed him. I'm going to say Fulminator Mage.
That's good.
Okay, so I'm going to choose... Boy, this is tough. I'm trying to figure out the ramp creature that I want.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's going to be... Oh, am I choosing Ulamog right now? Is that really what's happening?
You really think they're going to be more Ulamog than anything else...
So Ulamog sees play in the Tron deck and the Eldrazi ramp.
Sure.
So that's my thinking there. I don't believe... I mean, Etch Champion is the only thing that would be in Affinity that would fit this bill. But like Delver, Burn, there's no creatures that are three or more, right? So
Kitchen Finks, Gristlebrand.
Yeah, I feel like Ulamog's got a better shot than Gristlebrand for multiple copies.
Just because I'm so hopeful. We got Geist of Saint Whatever. Let's go with Resto Angel.
Gutsy.
Yeah.
Though not crazy.
True devotees mm-hmm. to the faith. I love it.
I don't know. You're seeing it in like that Jeskai Control deck that won Star City last week. I mean, there's some that I think it fits, so we'll see.
It plays in Kiki Court as well.
Yeah.
That is a good point. We kind of didn't identify any of the creature, or they, much of, you know, nobody said like Court of Calling or whatever, and I think that that deck's pretty good.
I have yet to play against that deck. I've seen it on camera, and it seems like the few times I've seen it on camera, it's not really performed, but, you know, hey, that's two matches, right? I have, like, no actual data. So that's our Fantasy Pro Tour. I'll just say it again. I'll send out an empty version of this, put it in the show notes, have our listeners respond, and should I do a winner or should I do a random entrant?
Let's do a random. You don't want to count all that.
I really don't, but I'm all about merit too. So as long as it's a legit entry, right?
Yeah.
Then I'll pick a random and send a couple packs of Oath of the Gatewatch, and hopefully you get that Expedition Wasteland. We have a great history, by the way, of our prize packs resulting in crazy value.
Foil just Brainstorm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just putting that out there. So before we kind of move on, I wanted to talk a little bit about video content. And Jason, this is something you've been engaged in a while, and kind of the value to you as a player, more so than you know what it does in terms of you broadcasting out and people consuming it. But what is making videos and recording yourself playing done for you as a player?
So the first thing that it made me do was it immediately made me play more to become a better player.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to tell you, unless you're very, very entertaining, people don't want to watch you lose. Like,
challenge accepted.
Yeah. So that was the first thing. Like right out of the gate, I was like, man, okay, I need to know what I'm doing. You also need to know what you're talking about a little bit, because, like, I mean, you're going to talk through your choices and stuff during the game for the most part. And so you need to be able to maybe not – I'm not saying you need to know make the correct choices, but you need to be able to explain yourself eloquently to your viewers, mm-hmm, as to why you're doing what you're doing. And that's something that a lot of people don't realize in the beginning. They just go, I'm going to do this, and then they do it, you know. So that's something that I found that I needed to work on in the beginning. Other than that, for me, really, it's just been – it's been a lot of fun. That's the thing. I get a lot of enjoyment out of just – producing the video content that I do.
So just, and this is much more for Cameron and myself. So what do you get out of streaming versus recording the video content? Like, is it just more of the live interaction, or what's the positive of streaming?
So for streaming, it's like, it's the live interaction. I don't have to worry about editing the videos afterwards. Mm. That's kind of the key. I stream now because I'm on sort of a time constraint through the most of the week. I work retail, so my shifts vary from week to week, except for the Monday night that I stream. And so it's just much easier for me to sit at a computer, stream, and then not have to worry about editing the video and stuff later.
So. Fantastic. Fantastic. Because I want to click the subscribe right now, what is your Twitch channel?
Twitch.tv/ReLevilGenius.
Fantastic. Now, Nate, you are also more known for the video. You're just getting into this audio thing. Basically, you're too handsome for radio. And so,
thank you. I'm turning beet red, man.
Well, I mean, as you don't know this about broadcasting school, but the first day they line you up and they just point at you and go, "You video, you radio," and that's how they separate us out, right?
Kind of true. Yeah.
I mean, they took one look at me and they were like, God, look at those teeth. Get in the radio side. Right? So now we're pulling you into this this side of things. But talk a little bit about what producing video content has done for you.
You know, I'm going to have to kind of go with what Jason said. I think it's forced me to become a better player. Because naturally, there's a strong desire to want to perform well in front of your peers. And, you know, I think the other thing that it does is it's sort of given my brain a lot of it's forced me to become used to sort of practicing the decision tree process in Magic while also talking and trying to be entertaining. And I've noticed that when I get to play Magic by myself, like in paper, and I'm not doing that, I feel like I have a little bit more ability to think through my plays because I've done it so many times while trying to do something else that when I'm by myself now, it's there's more like a calm and an empty space that I can think in. Mm-hmm. I hate to get like say something. No, I don't hate to say it, but it's just true. I think it's actually given me like a sense of satisfaction in having sort of a creative outlet for a hobby that I really enjoy. Just something I wanted to say is I thought a lot about streaming, and one of the reasons that I don't is just because I have, you know, other things going on, and sometimes it's hard for me to commit, you know, a big bucket of hours to it. But one thing I wish I could do is, well, one reason I've thought about doing that is because it does seem like that live interaction would be just incredibly rewarding and fun, being able to talk to people real time. You know, I try my best to respond to as many comments as I can. But it's not the same of streaming, where it almost probably feels more like you're hanging out with your viewers and just sort of kicking it and playing Magic. So, I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, Cameron and I made our first video last week. And so that was kind of one of the eye-opening moments of, oh man, this is real, right? You have to talk through your whole thing. I have to be kind to Cameron for in excess of 30 minutes.
It's really hard.
It's really tough, especially when he's playing Magic. So Cameron, what was your thoughts about making the video, man? I mean, besides all the production stuff, which I know like turns in your brain like crazy. Mm-hmm.
If you don't know, I produce television for public broadcasting. And so like doing something like this is fun and satisfying to scratch an itch where maybe I don't get to do specifically X, Y, or Z, and I get to do it with Magic, right? I have no idea how I feel about us streaming compared to us just putting in a finished product, right? I'm totally okay editing and getting everything down to a decent way of showing it, I guess. I have a good time. I'm just hopeful that people have a need and a desire to want to watch one of us play Magic and one of us screw up horribly with High Tide, right? I mean, so that's mainly it.
That might be the entertaining thing. Like, pretty soon you're going to be messing up with Dredge, right?
So yeah.
I think there's a certain weird kind of cathartic thing that Magic players have where they want to watch somebody else mess up sometimes. Like, when you watch LSV's videos, which I would argue he does the best recorded videos, and his stream's really good too. How many people attempt to correct him in the like comments below? It's like stunning. Now, granted, he's not a perfect player. He makes a ton of mistakes, whatever, but he's way better than I am. I would feel really weird going on to, you know, the comment thread and being like, actually, you should have. You know, that just seems silly to me. But hey, some people really dig that. I want to get out of this segment, Cameron, and we're just going to talk about a bunch of nonsense on the flip side. Is that okay with you?
Love it.
So, guys, let's just devote a little time to nonsense. Jason, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Sure.
Because we messaged each other a little bit regarding our mutual love of fantasy fiction. Last night, in anticipation of you coming on, I did a little homework.
Okay.
My wife and I downloaded the first two episodes of the Shannara Chronicles.
Okay, yeah.
So have you watched the show?
Yeah, I've watched all the episodes that are currently out.
Okay, so I'm going to preface this because I'm saying there's zero chance that Cameron knows what this is.
Continue.
Bros, we're going deep. I'm not even sure I can follow.
So the Shannara Chronicles, so there's a book series that I haven't read, but it's existed since the late 70s, I believe.
Yeah, late 70s into the 80s is when he wrote the stuff.
And what's interesting from a production standpoint, Cameron, is this is MTV's competitor to Game of Thrones.
All right.
So I want to say I read an article, maybe it's at Slash Film, that this is one of the most expensive television projects ever produced.
Seriously? And
it's such an out of left field thing. They bought the rights to this massive fantasy series, which is, it's a lot of books, a lot of different trilogies. And they have the long view with this, right? Now, it's not crazy in terms of a marketing perspective. Young people today are much more glued into fantasy fiction than we all were, mm-hmm. right? It's not just the one guy walking around with a Wheel of Time book in high school. But it's a really fascinating project. And Jason and I spoke about it real quickly. And now, Jason, have you read the books?
Yes, I have. I read them back when I was in like middle school. So.
Okay, so what's your thoughts on the series? Because I'm completely cold to it. I just watched the first episode.
Well, it's interesting because they're actually starting with what is considered the second book of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they started with the second book because the first book is just male leads. There's no strong female characters at all. It's kind of like the first book feels very much like Lord of the Rings. Whereas the second book kind of deviates a little bit, has there's these two strong female characters and, you know, like a love triangle and all this other stuff going on. So they start with the second book, which is, I found interesting. It's kind of weird though, because it shoves you into this world where you don't really know anything about what's going on. At the same time, I like it, because if they did the first book, it would have just been real boring, real fast. As far as a book to show adaptation, what has been interesting is that I guess it has to be because it's on MTV, and I have to say the same thing goes for Flash and Arrow on the CW. Is that
very apt comparisons?
Yeah, they are everybody is very pretty. There's no ugly mm-hmm. people in the show unless they're a villain or something.
Mm-hmm.
They never get dirty unless it's convenient for the shot. There's a shot where in the first couple episodes where they're rolling around in sand, and then when they get up, they have they're not covered in sand. It's just very weird.
I'll teach you that trick sometime.
Okay.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig strikes again.
So it's interesting to watch it in that aspect. But like you said, the budget for the show is insane because I'm used to watching shows on Sci-Fi where the computer graphics are just terrible. The CG work is god awful.
Still looks like Babylon 5.
The CG work on this, yeah. The CG work on this is actually quite good, and it's really surprising to see this type of show be coming from MTV.
Is it good?
I know they did Scream. They did the Scream show, which was reasonable, actually. Mm-hmm. I was quite surprised mm-hmm. when I watched that. But to see this come from them is definitely out of left field. And choosing this series in particular is kind of weird. I mean, there's a plethora of stuff out there. I don't know if this is just because it was cheaper for them to acquire the rights.
A plethora?
A plethora. I'm an English major. I went to school for creative writing. This is what I do.
No, is it plethora or is it plethora?
Technically it's either, so.
All right, well, you're an English major. I trust you.
Okay. Cameron has a master's in English education, but don't worry, he only reads poetry. That is completely not the truth. You took almost everything I was going to say about the show. I would highly recommend it. It is weird. I was talking to my wife about it after we watched it, and we were like, I kind of like that show a lot. I don't know why. The acting is actually just awful. It's the worst part of the show. Everyone is clearly chosen based upon their appearance, not because of their capability to act. And Arrow is also very egregious with that. I'd say Flash is slightly better.
Yep.
There are some actual good performances in Flash. Nothing fantastic, but definitely better. But Cameron, some of the production value on this thing is out of this world, mm-hmm. out of this world. I cannot believe MTV is doing this.
Hmm. Yeah, that does seem like a weird, I don't know, off the wall. Like you had told me this 5 years ago, I'd just laugh in your face, right? But this is the world we live in.
There are moments that are better shot than Game of Thrones.
Wow.
Not kidding. And you're just kind of what? But I wouldn't say the acting is Xena Warrior Princess level, but mm-hmm. We're kind of in that zone of ugh, this is super awkward.
Mm-hmm. That would kind of kill it for me. I couldn't handle it. I don't get as much, I can't watch terrible acting and be but the production nuances, look at that cinematography. I'm just looks pretty, acting sucks, can't get into it.
I would say, though, as a result of the production values, the world building is actually really interesting. And as somebody who doesn't know anything about the world, I'm very interested in what happens to these characters. And maybe, sometimes acting is rough in the first season and it gets better. HBO, this happens a lot. but, it is worth pointing out, why this series? This is a series that, is kind of in the backdrop of fantasy fiction. I mean, I think, you know, in the 80s you would know it, but it's like something like Wheel of Time seems like, and I'm not a huge Wheel of Time
Robert
fan,
Jordan,
but
right?
It seems, yeah, mm-hmm. It seems like it would be a way better fit for a big budget fantasy thing. Obviously, I'm a huge Brandon Sanderson fan, and I think Mistborn would be fantastic as a TV show or a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, fantastic.
It sounds like it's just a money grab, man. They're trying to ride on the coattails of all the fantasy interest because of Game of Thrones.
And it's not a terrible idea. I mean, you have it. It is TV 14. It is very aimed at teenagers, but as an adult, you can enjoy it. Like, I feel like it's a weird thing to say whenever we're talking about Pixar movies and we're like, oh, kids can enjoy it, but as an adult, you can get something out of it. But when you say about that about anything that's for teenagers, suddenly it's like a scarlet letter,
mm-hmm.
right? But this is that show. You know, you teenagers are going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
They probably just like it for the people in it, and that's fine. But it, Cameron, I want you to sit down and watch one of these episodes.
I'll give it a shot. Yeah,
you'll watch 20 minutes of it, and then get bored and go watch whatever horrible film that you want to watch.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I thought you were just like straight up senseiing him. Like, you're gonna watch 20 minutes of it. Like, he's not asking; he's just telling him. Like, listen here, student. Yeah. This is what you're gonna do in your evening.
Cameron hates TV shows like Jerry Seinfeld hates Dentist. Like, it is.
It's only like 95% true, man.
I'm kind of with you though, Cameron. I just don't really want. I like Game of Thrones. That's the last TV show that I liked before Game of Thrones was like Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica?
That's yeah.
Primarily.
Like you and Cameron are like soulmates. So before we cut off the show, I do want to like give you guys opportunity to talk about anything. Cameron, have you been playing any video games lately?
Just more Fallout, man. That's about it.
I got something to say on video games.
Are you on the Witcher still?
Okay, yeah. So I got Fallout 4, intended to play it, started playing Witcher, and man, Witcher 3 has got to be like the best RPG that I think.
Yeah,
I've
it's
played.
Legitimately the best game of 2015.
I would say probably one of my favorite ones before that might have been, and I'm not going to try to say exactly which one, but I thought the Mass Effect series was fantastic. It was one of the first video games where I had this sense of, wow, I'm so engaged with the story. The video game is like in the way. I'm forced to play mm-hmm. this game so that I can get to the next cutscene. Like, but you know, so I've also been playing MechWarrior Online, and I think it's super fun. You know, I'm not a big shooter guy, but it's slow paced enough. And there's like a lot of strategy involved. You get to customize your mech, that kind of thing. It's really fun. But the thing that I've been tinkering with, which I feel like is the future, and man, I can't say enough about the potential in this game, and I know that there's I'm sure everybody's heard of it on some level, but that's Star
Tetris.
Citizen.
Oh, you're playing Star Citizen.
So you know, I've heard a lot about it, and I just kind of decided it seems compelling enough that I'm sure I'm going to want to try it at some point. So it's in alpha right now. I'll download it and check it out. Well, I've never played a game in my life that makes me feel more like I'm actually in this existence simulator or universe simulator than I have in Star Citizen. Because you're normally when you play a space sim, it's like, hey, I'm a spaceship. I mean, that's what you feel like. You're like, you know, maybe you get the exterior view, but there's no real connection to the world that you're in.
More sound effects, please.
But in Star Citizen, you know, I guess it kind of starts off, you wake up in the bed when you first get into universe and your little HUD comes up on your screen and you're kind of walking around and they just get so many things that make you feel immersed. Like you select your ship and it tells you, you know, it's going to be on platform 3 and you're like, where's platform 3? And then you look over and there's signs like there would be in real life. Like when you're looking for a gate at the airport, you're like, I'll follow those signs, takes you there. And you walk up to your ship and you're like, wait a second, like there's a space station and this is the ship and I'm out here and it's all, you know, around me. And it's not like you feel like the ship is actually there, and it's intensified when you hit the button on the ship, the door opens, the ladder comes out, your dude climbs up the ladder and suddenly you're in the ship and you're walking around, you find the cockpit seat, you click use, and suddenly it's a space sim, whereas it for a second ago, it was an RPG, and the transition is completely seamless. And I know I'm going on a long rant here,
But Cameron, come back. Please. Come back.
Yeah. You take off and you go somewhere, right? And instead of like normal video games, they're like, I need you to fix a comma ray. So you blow up the bad guys, you fly towards a comma ray, and you hit like fix comma ray from your communications menu because somehow that works. But not in this game. This game, you blow up the bad guys. You pull up next to the comma ray, and your headlights from your ship like light up an access port. So you get out of your chair, you open up the hatch, and now you're EVAing in space back in, you know, first-person shooter RPG mode. And there, at some point, you're like, oh my gosh, like I've wanted to do this since I was a child. And you just have this awesome gaming experience, and there's so much incredible potential there. Super.
Cameron is actually buying a gaming PC.
Yeah, right, I was going to say, I just got to buy this, the sickest rig ever. And
you know, I'll send you guys a link to a 6-minute video, and it sort of encapsulates a lot of that. Basically, these guys, they run up into a ship, some pirates come, and this guy's like, can I get in the turret? He gets in the turret, and they're like, two guys, like Han and Chewbacca, flying in the Millennium Falcon. One of them's in the turret, one's piloting, and it's just super exciting. All right, I'm done. I know that was long.
So, no, I've actually played the competitor to that, Elite Dangerous, on Xbox One, and it has none of the first-person mode. It is just entirely the space sim part, and it's good. It's very obtuse, and like all that stuff you're saying sounds like much more engaging, you know, in the world.
So I've played Elite, and I, you know, it's a space sim. It kind of has that same thing where, you know, okay, I want to do this, I want to do that. It's a sandbox. It's an open world. I can create, you know, Destiny. That's fun, but you're sort of experiencing a lot of it through the lens of a spaceship. Whereas Star Citizen, you legitimately feel immersed. It's like, you know, it feels in some way like something like Skyrim, except you climb in a spaceship and now you're able to traverse the universe at the speed of light and blow ships up, and it's pretty cool.
You know, Cameron's going to re-listen to this like over and over again. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to leave with in terms of games, I just want to mention it because I'm about 4 hours in. The Witness.
Yeah.
Download it.
Okay.
Play it. The less you know about it, the better.
Mm-hmm.
It's experiential. So if you're not into that, as soon as I say that word, if your brain checks out, don't buy that game. Right? But it is something special. I've really loved it. I would actually tell you not to even like download it, watch a video review. All like right. It's to that level.
All right.
Now somebody's going to spend $40 and they're going to go, "What is this? What did you do?" Right? Anyway, so Jason,
yep.
Thanks for coming on, being our guest, talking with us, doing Fantasy Pro Tour. Your Twitter handle is
@ Real Evil Genius.
And as you said before, you're streaming Mondays, getting that going. Yep. And we appreciate you coming on, dude.
Oh no, it was tons of fun. Thank you for having me.
Nate, if someone would like to yell at you.
You can find me @ Great Nate on Twitter, @ Great Nate on YouTube, and also gonna be able to find me on the Spike Feed YouTube channel. And quick note about that, I'm going to have the producer extraordinaire and MTG yellow belt Cameron McCoy insert a link into the show notes to a straw poll, because, you know, if I'm going to be making Spike Feed content, I want to make what you guys want to see. And if that's Jeskai Geist, great. I love you guys even more. But if it's something else, that is totally cool with me. I'm going to put some options out there. Maybe Is It Stuff, some Azorius or Esper. Anyway, I'll put some links out there on a straw poll and check it after a few days or a week. And whatever gets the most votes, I will make a video series for the Spike Feed playing that deck.
So, Nate, just so you know, when we reference Cameron's production capabilities, you want to lead into with Emmy award-winning producer Cameron McCoy. So just going forward.
Emmy award-winning.
You know, you
let me practice. Hold on. Emmy award-winning producer and MTG savant, Daniel Craig.
Right. You want to say Emmy award winning where people can feel the hyphens and they can feel the trademark.
Uh-huh.
Right? All in one go. Cameron, if someone would like to get a hold of you.
Twitter @ Cameron _ McCoy.
I am @ Curtis Now. Our official show feed is @ Spike Feed MTG. We will check you guys next week.